Well, everybody, welcome to the In Doubt Show. Did I say hello properly?
Oh, whoops. Yeah, I forgot about
it. Did I say
Hey. Maybe don't go too hard on it.
Yeah, don't go so aggressive like my doom. Like or what was the
Dune.
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 The Fremen, they're overrunning the Dune.
All right, here we go.
Wow.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the In Doubt Show. Welcome. Yes, our live studio audience. Welcome. We're so glad you are with us. Thank you. Thank you.
I love you, Andrew.
Thank you. Everyone settled. I heard that, sir, or whatever that was. But hey, welcome to the program. Listen, we got a great show today. But just want to remind you guys, if you can like, subscribe, hit the notification, that would be much appreciated, just so you can keep in the loop with all the stuff that we are releasing. We believe that God is using us and using these resources to help young people navigate life, faith, and culture. And so if you could do that, that'd be great. Also, we need your support through prayer and also financially. So if you want to go to indoubt.ca, link is in the description. You can give a one-time gift. You can become an In-Doubt Insider, which gets 20% off our store for all the cool swag, sweaters, t-shirts, mugs, all kinds of stuff, books as well, which is pretty cool. But we really appreciate your support as we continue to bring life, truth to this next generation. We have a great guest in third chair, a fantastic guest that we're interviewing. But first, Chris, how are you doing, my friend? That's a little bit weird. You had a good weekend? Your kids are doing well? Emily's well? How's church? That doesn't work. Okay, if those in audio world, you're probably thinking, what is going on? I would encourage you to head on over to the YouTube. It's a website that has like videos and stuff. And maybe you're watching this right now on YouTube. If you're not and you're listening, it would make more sense. This joke would make a little more sense. Anyways, you're doing well though, for real. Yes. Okay. I'm going to introduce third chair because this guy has more than one voice, actually. He has over 500 voices. So when you hear this music, folks,
it's Ginny of the Land.
But we're actually going to be talking to someone in Virginia. So when you hear this music, oh, there is his voice.
Oh, man.
But when you, oh, come on. Here we go. When you hear this music, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Barack Obama. How's it going, buddy?
You know, I'm doing good.
Barack, you seem a little you seem a little bit off, sir.
I had a frog in my throat,
but you know, you know, sometimes that happens.
Barack, what is going on, man?
You know, every day is a gong show, Andrew.
Amen, brother. Hey, we got a great program today. And speaking of gong shows. And speaking, let me. This is
where are you going here?
This
Andrew?
Is a good segue because. Okay. Oh no, Chris! Chris pressed the wrong button. Okay, I can explain.
This is the long version.
Oh yeah. So we do not have Bonnie Pugh in the house, unfortunately. Chris pressed the wrong trigger.
I was trying to do this.
Yeah. And that makes more sense. Speaking of gong shows.
Looks like we're all having another off day.
Yeah. I'm going to steal it.
And I might.
Okay. So this is a bit of a gong show. But you know, sometimes life throws us curveballs.
Like sometimes lemons.
And sometimes lemons. And this is going to transition into something serious. And I share this a little bit with our guest today, Garrett Kell, on the show. But I've been having, like, you know, and I've talked about it on the show a couple of times, having some issues with back and neck and nerve and all that kind of stuff, and not getting a good diagnosis, hearing that it's going to be forever, it's permanent, I have a permanent damage to my spinal cord, etc. And so I appreciate your prayers, actually. If you could pray for me, that'd be fantastic. But, you know, sometimes life is just okay. And even with pressing wrong buttons, we're having a good time. It's silly, but you know, things don't go according to plan. And that happens also just in everyday life. And how do we navigate it? And how do we remind our souls that God is good and he does good, even in the midst of pressing Bonnie Pugh's trigger instead of is that the word? The trigger? No. We triggered her. Don't trigger Bonnie Pugh. Shout out though, because I know Brian and Bonnie love the program, and they might be watching this right now. So we need to have Bonnie on Third Chair pretty soon. We will actually, which I'm excited about. But anyways, Garrett Kelb, you know, he's a great guy, pastor in Virginia. And we're going to be unpacking this reality of, you know, God does good and is good, even in the midst of pain. And it's a message that I really need to hear. Marcus, you've been sharing some stuff about family. You know, like, life is hard. Life is challenging. There's a lot of ups and downs. But God is faithful and he's present all the time. And so there's my segue from that ridiculous gong show to the reality that sometimes life doesn't always pan out the way we hope and dream and wish, and that doesn't change the goodness of God. And so let's dive into this conversation. I think it's going to be really fruitful and really helpful. I know I'm very encouraged and excited to hear from our brother. So let's dive in, and we'll see you after the episode. I mean, not episode, after the conversation. All right. Well, we have Garrett Kale all the way in Alexander, Virginia. How's it going, buddy?
Yes, it's Alexandria.
Alexandria. Oh, yes. Come on. Because let's do. You know what? Let's not do it again. This is real, folks. I screwed up. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all right. I don't even know where I live sometimes. So don't worry about it.
That's amazing. Alexandria, Virginia. We you were saying you can look out your window. You can see.
The whole thing, I can see Washington, D.C. right over there. Can see the Washington Monument, can see the Capitol building. Potomac River's right here. So, yeah, we're right across from a lot of interesting stuff. So, yep.
That's amazing.
I've been pastoring here at Delray Baptist Church for about 13 years. Well, September will be 13 years. And never thought I'd be in this area, but the Lord has a sense of humor, and here we are.
Amazing. Where were you before?
I grew up in West Virginia, and then I went to Virginia Tech. That's where I came to the Lord, kind of middle of my junior year. I was very much not a Christian. Then the Lord saved me by his grace. Then I went to Texas. I was in Texas for 10 years where I studied the Bible, was an evangelism pastor, then helped plant a church, pastored there for 7.5 years, then came back up here to Washington, D.C. There's a pastor in the area named Mark Dever, who's kind of a pastor of pastors, and kind of studied under him for about a year and a half. Then was going to go plant a church in Dubai, and then the Lord opened a door to come here to this old dead, or it was an old dying Baptist church at the time. And we stayed here, and God's kindness, I've seen a sweet move of the Lord over the past 12 years or so.
That's amazing, man. And what's family life for you?
Well, not much going on. I have one wife and six kids.
Six kids.
And mom is pregnant with number 7. Which,
no way.
It was not on my bingo card for this year, to be honest with you, but the Lord knew. And so, yes, we have, it's full at our crib, but thankful. And the Lord's blessing us, and we're grateful.
Come on, man. God is so good. That's amazing. I read through an article that you released through Gospel Coalition, and we'll leave the resource available. Link is in the description where you guys can read it yourselves. But I was so encouraged by it. God is good and does good even in our pain. And I selfishly wanted to connect with you. Some people who have been watching the show, I've mentioned, you know, nerve pain and pinched nerves and all this kind of chronic pain with my back and neck. And, I've been struggling a lot in this last season. I've never shared this, but, you know, not a day goes by where I don't weep. And it's just been very, very hard. And so when I read your article, read the title, and read the whole thing, it just really encouraged me deeply to trust and to know that God is good and does good, even in the midst of physical pain, emotional pain, all kinds of things. And so I'm so grateful for your ministry, even outside your church ministry, your writings. And so I wanted to kind of walk through and hopefully be an encouragement, because maybe there are people who are watching who has a similar answer to we had before we started. You know, how's it going? Well, I'm okay, I guess, in the world, but you know, I'm doing really well in the Lord. You even mentioned that for yourself these days. Is your life pretty crazy these days?
It is. First of all, thank you for sharing a little bit about that. I know sometimes it's hard to just be open and honest about pain. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry, brother. It's hard when your body doesn't work like it's supposed to, or like you're used to. It makes things disorienting, raises a lot of questions. And yeah, I appreciate you letting us in on that a little bit. Yeah, my world has been the past 5 months or so have been, yeah, just dramatically different than what's normal. On December 21st of last year, my daughter, 15-year-old daughter, had a seizure that that lasted 20 hours, which is a long time for a seizure. And she was taken to the hospital. She had to be intubated, put on a ventilator. She was in a coma for 17 days. There was a little bit in there where she didn't have any brain activity, and we were pretty sure we might lose her, or if we were to get her back, that she would be distinctly different. And we just, you know, there's so many questions that come with that. Ended up being in the hospital for 51 days before we were finally got to go home. In God's kindness, he gave her back to us. So one of the first things we did that very first night was my wife and I, we gave her back to the Lord, and just, she's always been his before he gave her to us. So we tried to give her back to him at the very beginning to try and open hands. You know, Corrie ten Boom one time was talking with Chuck Swindoll, who's a pastor down in Texas, and she took Chuck's hands and opened them and turned them upwards like this and said, learn to hold everything like this. That way when the Father takes it, it doesn't hurt so bad. Because if we're clinging on to things, even things that are precious, like our children or our lives or our health or whatever else it might be, if we're clinging on to them, it's hard as the Father is working in the midst of that sometimes to know how to do anything. So we tried to give her back to him early on and had to do that a number of times along the way. Mm-hmm. But after 51 days and God's kindness, she came home. Physically, she's much, much better. Brain injuries take a while to recover from. So there's still, some just adjusting to everyday life and trying to figure out what schooling looks like and all those kinds of things. And I mean, she had never had any history of anything. So that was hard. And then in the midst of that, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which is not, you do chemo for it, but it's a terminal diagnosis. And then my dad's dementia got worse. So we moved them across the street. Actually, before coming here, I was at doctor's appointments all morning with them. And so a number of those things. I have another first cousin who's dying of leukemia right now. So, and it's in God's providence, this is what's going on in this season of life. So that's hard. It's, you know, it takes toll. It's not me who's suffering. It's a different kind of, I'm not suffering the physical pain that a lot of the people around me are, but it has its own pressures and pulls and sorrows. And, you know, I just was telling my wife, text her before we got on here. I was like, I don't know how to both grieve for what's going on with my parents and know how to navigate all the practical, tactical stuff that needs to happen. And, you know, it makes sense that it's hard, right? I mean, suffering, we weren't built for a world where suffering was the reality. We were built for Eden, the Garden of Delight. Like we were made to live in a world where we didn't know evil or its effects. That's why God says, like, you don't want to know what evil is, Adam. You don't want to know the knowledge of good and evil. You don't want to know it. You don't want to know what a cancer ward's like. You don't want to know what a terrorist is. You don't want to know what arthritis is. You don't want to know what chronic fatigue is. You don't want to know what a funeral is. You don't want to know, Adam, right? And Satan's like, yeah, you do. You know, and so there's a lot there. And I think that's why it's so hard for us. But the Lord is good, and he meets us in the midst of our misery and gives help. And that's why we're talking, right? Like we have a reason to not grieve as the world does. And it's because we have a good God who shows us his love through Christ in the midst of the deepest sorrows.
Praise God, man. Well, I do appreciate you sharing with us as well. That's just lots of heavy stuff. And I'll make sure that we pray for you and pray for your family, bro. It's not easy. And you're right. God is good, and he does good, and he meets us in our misery and our hardship and our suffering and our pain and our discomfort. And glory to God that he sustains and helps. Because, I was telling someone in the office, you know, I just feel like I'm just hanging on by a thread. Like I just feel like I can barely hang on. And she just looked at me and she's like, yeah, but that thread you're holding on to is Christ, and it will never break. Yeah.
That's right. And, he will hold us fast. That's
he
true.
He will hold us fast, that's brother, true. And he will hold you fast. We'll pray for your family, pray for you. Thank you for sharing. You walk through the article and you walk through George Mueller's life, and mm-hmm. I hope you journal and document God's moving in your life too, because I feel like there's a lot of stories of his faithfulness in you. But I'm so blown away by George Mueller's life, and maybe I know some people who are listening might not know who that is. If you want to just give us like a quick summary of who he was.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do my best. So he was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He lived in the 1800s. He was born around 1805, ended up living most of the century, died when he was 92. I think it was in 1898. And he was a pastor. He was an evangelist. But the main thing that people remember him for was that he was the director of an orphanage in Bristol, England. And it's really interesting when you read his biography, the reason that he started an orphanage wasn't that he himself personally had just an overwhelming burden for orphans. He did. But when he read through the scriptures, he saw God cares a lot about orphans. And if I know what pulls on God's heart, and it's interesting that the man, what he cared most about, orphans and evangelism, like God cares about those who are hurting and those who are lost. So his whole life, he oriented around, how can I put myself in a position where I need God most? So he thought, I'm going to be an evangelist, and I'm going to start an orphanage, because those things pull on the heartstrings of God, and I'm going to set myself up in such a way that unless God shows up, I'm doomed. And I know God's going to show up because I know his character. His character is that he's good. And so he built his whole life upon that. That's why he did the orphanage, which is pretty baller. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually like quite genius. That's a genius plan.
I know. I know. It's well, and you know, like throughout the Psalms, the boast of God's people is that the Lord will not put his people to shame.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, one little like anecdote from his life. So he would, in the orphanage, often they would get low on resources. Mm-hmm. So this one particular morning, they got up and there was no bread. So he gathered all the orphans together and he said, we need to pray that God would give us bread. He tells us in his word to pray for daily bread. So let's do it. So they all huddled up and prayed. And as soon as they said amen, there was a knock at the door of the orphanage. And he goes to the door and a bread truck had broken down out front. And they're like, we have all this bread. We're not going to be able to do anything with it. And there was some milk guy there as well. And they had a feast. And I pulled it over because I knew we were going to talk about that. This is his book. I don't know if you can see how thick that joint is. Most of this is prayer requests, like some 50,000 prayer requests in his autobiography of just things he wrote down that God answered. And his whole life was a life of prayer, trusting God for people who needed to come to know the Lord and for the orphans who needed cared for. And he said, pure and undefiled religion is to care for orphans and widows in their distress. Yeah. So, Lord, show yourself. And he said he did it for their good, certainly, but God's glory and his own soul's benefit, that he knew that if he kept seeing God show up, that he would trust him. And he did. So
such a cool story, man. I love it. I know there's like so many stories with him of God's provision. And again, like you said, it's like such a baller idea. Okay, I'm going to just take the things that God loves the most. That's just what I'm going to do for my life. It's like, how could I? Like, that's just amazing. I love it so much. So in the midst of all the ministry he's doing, he endured a lot of hardship and a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. What was that part of his life like?
It's pretty typical of the Lord to, for those that he's blessing greatly, to also entrust them with, you know, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the sorts of trials that help them to remember their need for him, which is not cruel. It sounds cruel to some, but it's a very kind thing of the Lord to do, because we're least useful and least safe with our own selves when we trust ourselves the most. So I think the more we know that we need the Lord, the better. There was physical pain. There was a lot of different kinds of hardships along the way. I think, you know, the one that I wrote about in that article was the death of he had two wives, but not at the same time, but his his first wife of Susanna. And it's That's hard. I mean, I haven't lost a spouse. I have dear friends who have, and there's something about that. I mean, even now, as I think about my dad trying to care for mom, you know, as she's deteriorating with her cancer, to watch like how much he loves her. Like they've been married for 53 years, you know, and to watch that, you know, I walked in the other day and he had tucked her in and was just, you know, kneeling over the bed trying to pray for her. And he's got arthritis and his back hurts. So he was in pain doing it. But like, I'm like, it just, to me, my dad's no perfect man, but it was a picture of Christ. Wow. In a way that was really encouraging, you know, that, wow, I'll just, you know, drink that up and want to try and emulate in that in some way. And I think Mueller had a similar sort of posture in his life. He cared well for his wife and, you know, but losing her was very hard. And so that would be one example, yeah, of the hardship that he went through with her. So, yeah.
And you wrote a little bit about his sermon that he preached, mm-hmm, quite soon after. Yeah. Unpack some of like the big things that he spoke on. It's just so powerful.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at it here. He had a couple texts. During the last minutes of her life, he read to her, and it was actually Mary. It wasn't Susanna, his first wife, that the article was about. I mixed that up. I apologize. But it was Mary, his second wife. So Psalm 84:11, he read this to her. You know, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is upright. It's interesting. It's actually on my wedding band. Carrie and I love this, wow, this verse, and we've kind of built our lives on that we can trust him, right? And,
wow,
you know, he says of that last phrase, this is a quote from him. He said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I am in myself a poor, worthless sinner, but I have been saved by the blood of Christ, and I do not live in sin. I walk uprightly before God. Therefore, if it is really good for me, my darling wife will be raised up again, sick as she is. God will restore her again. But if she is not restored again, then it would not be a good thing for me to have her back.
Wow.
And you know, I think what you see there is just that's later in life, a man who's seen God be nothing but faithful, nothing but good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he trusts God. He knows that none of us are promised, you know, to not die in this life. Everybody's going to. He also knows that God has the power to raise her up. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, he could raise her off that sick bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he trusted that whatever God was going to do, it was going to be good. It was going to be aimed at good. Good for her, good for him, and good for the glory of his name among mm-hmm. the nations. And I was just so moved by that posture of surrender.
Mm.
Because I'm a control freak. Like, I tend to think I know how things ought to work, and I'd prefer it this way or that way. And so I'm constantly having to yeah. surrender and open my hands and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Your ways are above my ways, you know, and like lean not on my own understanding and all of my ways acknowledge you. You will make paths straight. He is good and does good, right? And that was actually the text that he preached the funeral sermon from. So a few days later, 5 days after he had penned that, right before she died, there was... he had the funeral, and according to historical records, there were some 1,200 orphans there and thousands of grieving friends that came to this funeral. And the sermon text was Psalm 119:68, which says, you are good and do good.
Hmm.
It's a great, I mean, if you're looking for a verse to memorize, like start there. Hmm. You are good and you do good.
So it
tells
good.
You everything you know yeah. about who he is and what he does.
Yeah.
And everything needs to be read through that grid.
Yeah.
And everything that doesn't, we gotta revisit that, right? So so his outline came from that. The Lord was good and did good in giving her to me, in so long leaving her to me, and thirdly, in taking her from me. And he reflected on those three things.
Yeah.
He reflected on God's goodness, that he gave me a wife. Like, I didn't deserve that. He gave her to me for so long, you know, for the decades that they were married. And then God did not stop being good because he took something precious from me.
Mm.
She was always his and it was her time to go. So he still knew that God was good, even though there was great hardship that he faced in the midst of it. So what an encouraging word I found for me.
That's so that, good. Yeah.
That's yeah, that I need to remember that regardless of whether I'm in a hard season or helping somebody who's in one. So
absolutely. I need to hear that, and I needed to be reminded of it when I read it. It was so encouraging to me. So it's interesting you mentioned with his life, you know, he comes to this point towards the end because he's had just such a long history of just seeing God's faithfulness. You know, what would you say to a young person who hasn't had that experience yet of seeing God so much? How do we encourage them that, no, that is the truth of who he is. He is faithful and he is kind, but they just haven't had opportunity to, maybe they just don't think they've seen it as much as someone like George.
Yeah. So I would remind them that we walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. So our experience does not determine reality, but rather God determines reality. So the way that we can help our inexperience is twofold. I think first is by reading the scriptures.
Yeah.
The scriptures are largely narrative. And the reason they're narrative is because God is capturing the lives of people who have trusted him and not trusted him. He preserves their example of what it looked like to trust him and how he showed up in the midst of all of the different situations and circumstances that they faced. And we are to learn from their examples. Romans 15 says that the scriptures are given for our encouragement, that we would learn and read and be encouraged to persevere in faith. So I think you don't read the Bible because it'll check it off your list. You don't feel guilty that you skipped a quiet time or something. Like you read the Bible because you need it. You need God's word to live. You need it's your daily life, your very life, Deuteronomy says. So I think read the Bible like a desperate person saying, God, show me who you are and how you act in your people throughout history, right? Centuries of lives of testimonies. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, as you're praying and pleading with God to help you, secondly, surround yourself with brothers and sisters who are a little further down the line than you are. This is why the local church is so important, that you're going to be around saints who have been around for quite a while, who have trusted him and who have leaned on him and who could remind you, you know? So for instance, one of the things that I got from, there's a sister named Sarah Fuel. She's gone to be with the Lord now, probably 7 or 8 years ago now. But I remember being with her in some of her, latter kind of weeks there. And during one of our visits, she gave me my favorite quote that I've ever heard from any Christian. She said, she had dementia, and she said, she had a moment of clarity, and she said, I may forget the Lord, but he will never forget me. And you could see that she was just at peace. And I've just held on to that. I've been sharing that with my dad. Like I'm about to get that made into a thing and put it on the wall for him and just like, just to remind him, I mean, so there's something about borrowing faith, as it were, from the saints of old who have walked. And that's why you need, to be with other people. This is why podcasts are good things, but this does not replace being in a local church.
No.
Tuning into some live stream is not going to church. Like you need people, you need relationships, you need others around you, and you need a diversity of relationships. And that's not just ethnic, that's important, but it's also ethnic, cultural. I mean, and then also like age range, like you need older saints, need the young cats for some zeal, and that zeal needs some wisdom. So let's put this together and do some good. And we need help. So I would say that to somebody. I'd say, don't give up. Keep trusting. Read the word. I'll read it with you if you want some help or help find somebody to do that. And let's meet with some older saints who have walked with him and let him say, won't he do it? He will do it. He is faithful. And surround yourself with those kind of people.
I love that. That's such a good word. And we've just seen we've talked about this on the show many times, just a lot of people have stopped going to church and just live stream at home, and just the importance of, no, we actually can't persevere alone. Like we have to be together. We have to be together. So it's a good reminder.
I don't mean this. Can I say something about that real quick?
Yeah, please.
I just want to say it's not just a hobby horse, but like I've been a pastor. I've been pastoral ministries for, over 22 years now, and you need the local church. And it is Satan would love for you to feel comfortable sitting at home, live streaming, to where everything is comfortable around you and you don't have to sacrifice anything. Like all of the normal sacrifices that come with going to church, getting up, going to bed on time, getting up one time, having to drive wherever you're driving, navigating whatever the parking situation is, having to, by faith, greet one another, even if you don't feel like it, like serving, mm-hmm. thinking of others, like, how are you? Coming in, singing yeah. songs, some that you like, some that you don't, but you sing them because by faith, you know, somebody else in here needs to hear that song and you're singing for them just as much as for the Lord, because church mm-hmm. is not all about you. Mm-hmm. And then we humbly sit under the word and receive it. And then we talk with other people about how we apply it and how can I pray for you? And there's giving. All of that is missed yeah. out. If your Christian life is, I'm going to sit at home, listen to something, and I like how this guy says it, and then I don't have to worry about him, you know, being in my life to help make sure I live it. I can just be me. Like, I just want you to know, that's not spiritually safe. Satan is very happy with that approach to Christianity because, yeah. I mean, when you read through the book of Hebrews, the way that people persevere, the antidote to apostasy is see the glory of Jesus and be surrounded by Jesus's people. And particularly mm-hmm. in suffering, you need that. Because there's yes. nothing like suffering to make us start tripping. I mean, like, yeah. I start tripping, thinking crazy stuff about myself, about God, about yeah. people, about Christianity. Suffering makes us do strange things and yeah. think strange things. Yeah. So I know it's a little bit of a hobby horse, but I think it's really important. And especially in suffering, we need to surround ourselves with folks. And you can't do that just through a live stream.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like for myself, I came in the office last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, and I just like broke down in tears. And I had Chris and Marcus and the guys just surround me and pray for me and just kind of mm-hmm. be there for me. And I'm like, man, I'm so grateful. I work in a community where I just have brothers. Like, I can't do this. You're right. It makes your mind tricks you into a lot of crazy things when you're suffering. And if you're listening to those lies and those attacks and those yeah. schemes and start entertaining them, it gets dangerous very fast. We can't persevere alone, especially That's when true. We're going through suffering. And we all suffer and we all have these, you know, burdens in our lives. No one's, you know, free from that. It's interesting though, when you think of George Mueller's life and how he just, okay, just on this kind of area of church and local church and the importance of it, he saw what was the heart of God, evangelism, orphans. And I'm going to just dive into that. If you think about it, the church, the bride, how significantly important it is mm-hmm. to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It ought to be, you know, significant for us. So it's like, if we want to be in line yeah. like George was with like what he wants to do with his life, it's got to be central, man.
Yeah, it's got to be central. It matters to God, so it's got to matter to us as well.
It's got to, yeah. And so it's just like, take the George approach. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the Lord seems to love to bless his bride. So, and yeah, I will say that some of you, your suffering has come at the hands of the church. I just want to acknowledge that. Like, the church yeah. is filled with imperfect people. We actually talked about this at church on Sunday. Like, there's sometimes we will hurt. The longer you do life together, you will hurt one another. But I just want you to know that the healing does not come outside the church. God uses his people to heal from wounds that his people have inflicted. Yeah. And that's part of the means. He will use his gospel applied through. And maybe it's another church that helps you think through it, but please don't throw the church out just because the church yeah. has hurt you. That's not the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talk about hurt, we talk about pain, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, family issues, people that you're doing life with who are suffering. We talked about this idea that these situations God allows for good and it actually refines our faith. Walk through mm-hmm. and maybe elaborate how experiencing suffering actually shapes an understanding of God. Because a lot of people, like we talked about, it's like, oh, you know, we go through hardship and it's like, oh, it seems cruel. How can we mm-hmm. get a proper perspective of actually it's not cruel? In a weird way, it's good.
Yeah. I think the first thing to remember is that God never does evil.
Yeah.
There is evil, but God never does it. So God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So he is working all things, good and evil things, together for the purpose of making us like Jesus. So just remember, it's not God who's doing evil to you. Mm-hmm. He never does evil. He will ordain, arrange, allow, permit, all the words you can process how all that lands together. I think a beautiful picture of that is how Joseph thought about it. If you read the story of Joseph and where he lands, Genesis 50:20, right? At the end of his life, after he'd been betrayed by his brothers, he'd been kidnapped, sold into slavery, you know, a whole bunch of unjust stuff happened to him for a long time. God in his providence ends up restoring Joseph and using him to get bread to the world in famine. His brothers come back. They're like, oh no, he's going to kill us. And he says, am I in the place of God? He's like, listen, what you intended for evil, God used for good. Mm-hmm. So Joseph didn't say, well, hey guys, it's cool. He's like, listen, vengeance is the Lord. He will repay. My job is to be faithful. My job is to forgive. My job is to extend mercy. They had repented at that point, so there could be reconciliation. But I think having a... So to answer your question, again, I think you got to, your mind has to be shaped by the word, but you come back to stories like that and you grab a hold of verses and you ask the Lord, Lord, show me what this means, right? Like, help me to understand what it means to trust you, that you're working all things together for the good. And Lord, right now, this isn't good. And listen, when you read the Psalms, they are filled with the sort of language that God wants us to use in the midst of our pain. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Like, that's not a sinful prayer. That's a legit prayer. Because sometimes we feel forgotten. And that same prayer is actually prayed in heaven by the saints who have been martyred, who are waiting for Jesus to come back. They say, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on the earth? Like, even in heaven, everything's not finished until Jesus comes back, and then he makes all wrongs right. So even in heaven, where it's good, and you're with the Lord, and you're away from evil, even there's a sense of, Lord, when are we going to get rid of evil? And when is that going to happen? And I think that's a good prayer to pray. So don't act like it's not happening. It's not real faith. Isn't like, oh, I'm okay. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm better than I deserve and all that kind of stuff. And that may be true that you're better than you deserve, but that doesn't mean that it's not awful. That's why when you asked me before we got on, how are you? I'm like, I don't know. Kind of okay. You know, I'm well in the Lord, but life is hard. I'm tired. Man. Right.
Yeah.
So, and then I think you just got to grab some verses. You got to find verses like that one that I just read from Romans 8:28, or think of the end of Job, right? Job, at the end of his life, after everything he'd been through, his resolution is this: I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Like, I went through some stuff and I had heard about you before, but now I see you. I see you for who you are. And there's a way that we get to see God show up in the midst of our sufferings in this life that does bring life and healing and hope and comfort. But there's also the hope of what's to come, right? Like the 2 Corinthians 4:17, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Whatever we're facing right now is light. Hold on. Light, momentary. That makes sense. Momentary. Okay. It's only for a little while. Light though. He didn't say it's not heavy. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So compared to the weight of glory that is coming.
Wow.
Whatever we're going through right now is light. So the most horrific things imaginable, which there's horrific things done to people and by people on this planet, the deeper those wounds are, the more grace that is going to be filled in to heal those wounds, which takes a deeper weight of glory. He says it's preparing for you. So in one sense, more suffering now brings more glory later in some way that I don't know what that looks like. But the Lord says, I want you to memorize it. Put that in your heart and believe that. So again, there's no secret to this other than find promises in the Bible that you can't live without.
Yeah.
Like, I need that to be true. I need that to be true. You need that to be true.
Yeah.
Because that helps. It helps right now. Say, Lord, you know that this is heavy, but you say, compared to what's coming. So help me to trust. Help me to believe. And this is why the gospel, we don't graduate from the gospel. The gospel is not for just people who don't know Jesus. The good news of the gospel is that God gives you what you don't have and don't deserve. And we need that. I need gospel grace. You need gospel grace to make it another step.
Yeah.
And another step.
Yeah.
And another step. And that's what perseverance and faith is. It's fueled by the promises of God that lift our hearts and our minds and our affections and our up on Him, mm-hmm. and locking arms with others who are helping us do the same. Remembering we're not all strong at the same time. So this is why you need each other. Mm-hmm. And we're leaning in and looking up, pressing on, almost home. You know, and that's what we say to our congregation all the time. We're almost home. We're almost home. We're almost home. And brother, listen, I mean, we've been going for, you know, 40 something minutes. We are closer now than when we started this thing. So y'all who've been listening at 1.5 speed, like, listen, we're almost there. Yeah. Like you're getting closer. And that's the hope of the Christian, is that we're ever closer to home, to seeing Him, and we can trust Him.
Man, that is so good. And I was just telling Chris right before we started this conversation, I had a counseling session yesterday to deal with, you know, how do I manage just mentally and emotionally the 24/7 pain all the time? And this counselor's not a Christian, but I've had so many times to evangelize him. It's been amazing. I feel like God has brought me into this relationship with him just to share the gospel with him. But anyways, he asked me, you know, a question, and I just came up with, like, God just put this passage, light and momentary affliction. And I just kind of told the guy, I'm like, listen, I feel like right now I think it's heavy and permanent. That's what I feel when I'm going through physical pain, that it's heavy and it's a permanent thing. And I had to remind my soul that it's actually light and it's momentary. And just everything you're saying is just like, man, the Lord knew I needed to just be reminded of that again, man. And you're looking at me through the camera right now and you're like, bro, memorize that. Memorize it, bro. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand what you're even saying to me right now. This is so good. Yeah. And I needed it so bad, but it was just a reminder for my soul. Hey, this is light. It's amazing, man. And you look through all that Paul says he endures before he even says light and momentary. He's talking about shipwreck. He's talking about stone whipped and all these different things. And he includes all that as like this light momentary affliction.
That's true. It's good. And you know, the other thing to remember, I had a conversation with somebody recently about this, and it came to mind, so I hope it'll be helpful, is to remember for people, particularly like you who are experiencing like real physical weakness, like weakness is not sinfulness. Hmm. Like the Lord knows that we're but dust, right? He knows that we're frail. He's patient with us. So sometimes we can feel like, oh, maybe I'm sinning, or I feel condemned, or I feel guilty because I can't do. Well, our worth is not in what we do. Our worth is in Christ. And so, yeah, just in case anybody feels that, you know, because the person I was sharing that with, they feel very condemned because they're constantly comparing themselves to what others can do. Mm. And they're just weak right now. And I just say, listen, weakness, number one, is not sinfulness. And actually, weakness is a pathway to more grace.
Yeah,
like 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness, actually, if you don't have weakness, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
because if you're not aware of your weakness, you're in trouble. So I just in case that would be helpful for anybody. So
such a good word, man. I really appreciate this conversation. I appreciate all you're doing. I want to get on a flight and come visit you at your church. That would be amazing.
Love to have you.
Closer to home. Man. Come on, baby. I love it. Dude, I thank you so much for your time today. I know this is going to be such an encouragement to our people, and it's been such a blessing and encouragement to me. Thank you for just affirming things that I needed to be reminded of today and just pointing me back to the Lord. I'm so grateful for your life and just appreciate all you're doing. God bless you, man.
Well, it's been mutually encouraging. And thank you. And I'll continue to pray for you and pray for those of you who are hearing this. Just remember, if you've listened today, it's not by accident or chance. There's no such things as luck in God's universe. And He wants you to hear some of this. So you don't have to do it alone. Lord help.
Praise God. Thank you so much. God bless you, bro.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
That was very, very good, man. Oh, yeah. Very much needed. I feel like sometimes, and I mentioned this in the conversation, I selfishly get in guests just so that I could be ministered to. Is that selfish? Comment below. Are you upset about that? Oh, here's another thing. Comment below for real.
Don't comment below.
No. Comment below for real every time. Sorry. You're right, Chris. As I said that, I'm like, it's the coffee. I'm speaking way faster than normal. But comment below. What are some topics of conversation you'd like to hear? Because I mean, ultimately, if you're watching and you're still with us, You went through that crazy intro. You saw the conversation, and you're still here for the outro. What are some topics that would be a blessing to you? Some of the things you're struggling with, or that you need help with clarification biblically, or what the case is, whatever the case is. We want to hear from you. And so leave a comment. We do see the comments, and we'll try to consider that as a topic for a future episode. But that was a very good conversation. I feel like, man, something that just stands out to me so much, and Chris and I were talking about before we recorded. I talked about it yesterday with Michelle and this counselor that was helping me. But light and momentary affliction. And I feel like sometimes with my chronic pain, or when we get so immersed in a situation where it's just so heavy and so hard, whether it's a family situation, a health concern, you know, it seems heavy and permanent. And that's when you start to go to really bad places, even just emotionally. And so just trying to remind myself, light, momentary, it's going to be okay. God is with me. He is good, and he's using this for my good. Also just the realization that, you know, people who are serving and doing good, most of the time it's in partnership with suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's just, you can't avoid it, but God uses it for good. You had some stuff that you discovered of George Mueller.
Well,
that
it's just
like
his,
fascinating.
Yeah. His life was
yeah.
so well, fascinating, I guess the right word.
Yeah. It's, just it's amazing. Yep.
The faith that he had and the power of prayer that shows it. And I mean, obviously the one sort of famous story that Garrett touched on, but I mean, from the sounds of it, that just was his normal
just
life.
Normal
like
life.
That wasn't the yeah. only time that that sort of thing happened where they didn't have enough food for the orphans and someone showed up, or they didn't have enough funds. George Mueller wrote about all of this and
yeah.
wrote down all his, the answers to prayer. And a lot of times he'll say like, I have like 6 pence.
Yeah.
Literally, that's all the money that we have. And then someone would show up with like a huge donation that they would need.
So or, cool,
yeah,
man.
Like it's just, yeah, the faith that he had and the prayer, his prayer life was mm-hmm. just yeah, incredible.
That's cool. And so, we'll resource you link in the description for his autobiography.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I mean, like it's just filled with like 50,000 answered prayers. Like yeah. how cool is that to just document it? And that's also a reminder to write out your prayers and actually journal. Like, you yeah. know, I think it's really important to write and document some of these things so that you can look back and see God's faithfulness in your life. I know I have people who do that in my life and they get so encouraged, and I started doing that, and I'm not as consistent as I should be, but I feel like that's something that will be really helpful long-term when you want to look back and like, oh, I remember that time I was praying for that and
yeah.
just seeing how God moves. Because oftentimes we pray, something miraculous happens, and then we kind of just move
forget
on.
Forget about it, yeah.
Yeah, and we like don't, you know, get as excited as we thought we would when it gets answered. And so that's important, journal. But no, that was a very good conversation. We hope that you were blessed today, and we hope whatever you're battling, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, if it's family members or friends who are suffering, we pray that God is with you, that he meets you, that he reminds you that he's there. Be glued to the word. The importance of being in a local church community. You can't persevere on your own. We need each other. We need to link arms together and do life together in order to overcome some of the obstacles that God allows us to go through. And so we hope you're plugged in. Be in the word. Be encouraged. God is with you. And we'll see you next week for another episode. God bless you guys. She's just a homeschool girl.